Ladies and gentlemen, Nick Revel. Well, thank you very much. Listen, I want to tell you about last Tuesday, okay? It's my plants. See, I talked to them to make them grow better, and recently they've started to answer back. Which can be a real drag at 4 o'clock in the morning, you know. You're lying in bed and suddenly it's, Nick, it's the geraniums. Can we have a drink of water, please? From the kitchen tap, not the bathroom tap. So I take him a drink of water, then it's, Nick, leave the light on. And of course, I can't tell anyone that my plants talk to me. They'd think I'm bonkers. But, you know, let's face it, in a world where Dan Quayle can be the second most powerful man on Earth, anything is possible. I mean, you know, if somebody had told you in 1980 that in 10 years' time, plants would be talking to people, or that the Vice President of the United States would be someone who once said, space is very big, where would you have put your money? So anyway, I'm sitting on the sofa with a cup of tea and a cigarette, trying to cope with being conscious again, when suddenly I realise I'm being watched.
Hello, Nick.
Caroline! So that's why the world keeps turning, so that you don't fall off. I didn't see you there. Give us a kiss.
Take your hands off me, you oversexed sloth. I've been watching you get up. It's not human. David Attenborough should film you.
What do you mean?
Okay. First you wake up. You roll off the bed with all the bedclothes around you, then retrieve various items from a foothill of dirty washing and put them on under the bedclothes. Then you go to the bathroom and wash. Or to be more precise, you stick your nose down your shirt, sniff your armpits, then take a damp flannel and rub what bits you can reach without undressing.
Well, I'm a man. When you live on your own and you don't have to keep regular hours, you tend to get idiosyncratic.
And it's 12:30.
Ah, no, I can explain that.
Oh?
Ecology. Stay in bed till late, keep warm without using the central heating. Preserve the world's precious energy resources.
Nick, the reason you don't use the central heating is because you haven't worked out how to turn it on.
Well, I'm not technical.
I had to take a cold shower.
I'm sure you did, my dear, but it won't save you from yourself now. Come here!
Don't even think about it. You're only wearing a dressing gown and I can crack walnuts with my bare hands.
Well, you didn't object last night.
Last night we went straight to bed, remember?
I rest my case.
Yeah, well, living like this, how can I believe you have any respect for me when you obviously don't respect yourself?
What is this, 30-something? You're turning American.
How can you respect me if you don't respect yourself?
And that's rich anyway, getting a lecture on self-respect from someone who works in advertising.
Here's your key. Goodbye, Nick.
Hey, no, Caroline, wait a minute. Hang on.
Goodness me. The witty, charming writer lost for words. Can this be the same man whose silver tongue enticed me to a weekend in Paris within 6 hours of our meeting?
Evidently not.
You said it.
Why do people always assume moral superiority just if they get up earlier than you do? Oh, you're up, Nick. Finally. I've been up for, let's see, how bright's my halo? Oh, hours. She's got a point, though. I am a pig. Oh, let's have a shave. Maybe a pig, but I draw the line at looking like Oliver Reed. Wish there was some way of shaving without having to look at your face in the mirror. It's the same every morning, staring back at me like it's demanding some kind of explanation for what I'm doing to my body. OK, I've put the cigarette out, so stop looking so accusing.
So, how long you been seeing her?
Couple of weeks.
You want to make an effort, Nick. She's a terrific person.
Yeah. Vince, what do you know? You're just a geranium.
Listen to the plantist comments, mammal. Hey, where are you going?
I'm going down the calf for some breakfast.
Oh, before you go, Nick, turn on the radio. There's a Gardener's Question Time special this afternoon. She's right, he is a pig. whatever that is.
Oh, no. A pit bull tied up outside the newsagents. What's London coming to when you can't buy a paper without losing a leg?
Sit down! Scud down! it's all right, mate. He's friendly.
looks a bit hungry, though.
Scud down.
Guardian, please.
Scud.
40 pence, please.
Thanks. Still, in a couple of years, pit bulls won't be a problem in London, will they? The rats will be big enough to eat them. Strange. Pit bull, still tied up. Owner disappeared. Dog no longer looks hungry. Don't get involved, Nick. I'm hungry myself.
There you are, Nick. 2 poached egg, mushroom toast.
You know what, Shona?
What?
I don't know what I'd do without this calf.
I do. It'd spend all lunchtime in the pub as well as all night.
True. But as far as I know, this is the only cafe in the entire city where you can get poached eggs. Now, I once asked for poached eggs in this cafe up Edgware Road. The guy says, "Poached eggs? What are you, a puff or something?" And then he farted. So I said, "Well, I wasn't until now, hunky. Give us a kiss." Oh, very well. He chased me out the shop with a bread knife. Here, is that Test Match Special on the radio?
Want me to turn it up?
Yeah, please.
Well, if you've only just tuned in to Test Match Special, I'm sorry to have to tell you that the covers are on here at Lord's and the light is not getting any better. So, Sir Frederick, are you surprised at no play at the moment?
Well, John, as in my day, we'd have been out there. I mean, OK, it's a bit nippy, but if you ask me, this is what happens when you have too many Southerners in the England team. The cold. I've even known I'm going to cafes and order poached eggs. I mean, however bad it is for our lads, surely the Australians are going to feel it more, aren't they? It's got to be to our advantage.
Bruce, sorry to interrupt, but I've just been handed a note pointing out that it's February and the current test match is taking place in Sydney, Australia.
I thought the crowd was a bit thin.
It wonder tells me that this is the first time a test match commentary team has gone to the wrong continent. Still, not to worry, Mrs. Murgatroyd from Tunbridge Wells sent us a delicious bit of cake.
Turn it off, Shona.
Like a slice of
wood. No matter what I do.
Oh, no.
What's up?
I can't even read the paper. It's all too depressing, you know? Floods, civil war, Bross making a comeback. And Caroline wrote the copy for that advert.
Who's Caroline?
Oh, just this girl I'm...
in love with.
Well, yeah, I suppose so. She's beautiful, intelligent, she doesn't mind I'm always broke. She likes the Marx Brothers. What more could a boy want?
And she's left you?
Yeah.
Why?
The usual.
What's the usual?
She found out what I'm really like. But Vince is right, you know. I should make an effort. I can change.
Who's Vince?
Oh, just a friend. Listen, Shona, I've got to go. Listen, give me the change tomorrow, OK? See ya. Right. So how can I make this flat fit for human habitation?
Move out.
Shut up, Vince. Now, where do I start? Connect the washing machine? Shelves? Maybe decorate the bedroom. I know. Put me LPs in alphabetical order.
Oh, Nick, hey.
Hey, Craig, how you doing?
That's my round. What can I get you?
Mineral water, please, Craig.
Mineral water? Oh, sorry, pal. I mistook you for my friend Nick.
What are you looking at me like that for? I've ordered a mineral water, not grown another head.
Where the hell have you been all day?
Cressida, hello.
Good evening. Cressida Stockwell, Nick's agent. Why have you had the phone off the hook all day?
Well, I've been doing up the flat. I didn't want to get distracted.
Doing up the flat?
Well, don't tell me you've connected the washing machine.
No, I started off by putting my LPs in alphabetical order.
And?
Well, then I had a nap.
I should hope so. Strenuous work, filing LPs.
I know, I never realised how many I had, you know.
Look, I can't stay long. I'm on my way to my karate session in Highgate, but I thought I'd drop in and bring you the good news personally.
Well?
You remember that short story you wrote for Soldier of Fortune?
Remind me.
You know, about the train spotter who lives with his mum, has the chance meeting with the beautiful geisha girl who falls in love with him, instructs him in ninja warrior techniques, and helps him single-handedly destroy the Middle Eastern tyrant's war machine while posing as a bricklayer.
Oh, that. Biggest pile of crap I ever wrote.
Yes, which is presumably why 3 Hollywood studios want to option the film rights.
What?
Rather nice, isn't it? And as far as I can make out, the only thing they want to change is to make the tyrant less Jewish.
Kind of reduces the hidden satire somewhat.
For $20,000 minimum?
$20,000?
Who's got $20,000?
Oh, hi, doll.
Cressida, Shona, Craig's wife.
Correction, Nick. He's my husband, okay?
Whatever. Anyway, this is Cressida. She's my agent.
Correction. Nick's my client.
Yeah, whatever. What's that you're drinking?
Vodka and Diet Coke. That way you fall over before you get fat. What's this about $20,000?
Nick's just sold the biggest pile of crap he ever wrote to Hollywood.
Hey!
Just when I need incentives to get active, I find I can stay in bed for the next 6 months.
You are in love again, aren't you?
Oh, so that explains the mineral water.
Of course. The only time you ever talk about incentives to get out of bed is when you're trying to get someone else into it.
Well, thank you. Anyway, about this deal, I don't know if I can square it with my conscience.
You don't have to, darling. That's what agents are for.
I could do with the money.
Well, so could I. You haven't exactly been raking it in this year, have you?
No.
Excellent. This is a cause for celebration, I think.
Well, actually, Cressida, I'm not drinking anyway, so...
So? Nick, giving up drinking is a cause for celebration in itself.
Yeah, maybe. But I want to be up early. It's part of my new regime, you
Excellent.
See.
Excellent. All the more reason to have a drink.
Why?
It'll help you sleep.
Mm. Exactly. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. Maybe I'll just have one, but then I'm going.
And now, please, ladies and gents.
Oh, no. I was going to be in bed by 10 o'clock.
Nick, do stop moaning. You've just made a lot of money, and you're finally going to be a success.
But my personal life's in ruins.
That's good. It means you'll always have something to write about.
Thanks.
Why do you think I'm not a writer, huh? Because I'm totally happy both at home and at work. I envy you.
Really?
Yeah, there's a fascinating correlation between dissatisfaction and creativity. Freud ascribes this.
Craig, since you started that Sunday Post correspondence course in psychology, you can be a real pain in the bum.
Come on now, ladies and gents. Haven't you got homes to go to?
Not really. Just a flat. But it's not a home. Just a bed and lots of dirty washing.
Sure, what's got into him?
He's given up drinking.
Oh, well, there's my trip to Barbados out the window.
Nick, we need to talk about what else of yours we can interest these Hollywood people with.
Oh, I'm not sure if I want to get into all that, you know.
We will have dinner tomorrow night, and I'll use all my seductive powers to persuade you. In a strictly business sense, of course. And I'll pay.
Oh, well, that I can't miss. Okay, it's a deal.
Taxi! I'll pick you up tomorrow at 8. Holland Park, please. Good night, everybody.
See you.
Good night. Good night.
How did she manage to do that?
What?
She walks outside and a taxi is there. And it's raining.
She's an agent. Oh. Heaven knows what supernatural powers they acquire when they make that pact with the devil. Listen, I need to go to bed. I'll see you.
Yeah, see you,
Nick.
Wait!
What?
Where do I live?
Cross the road, first on the right, number 27. Hello?
Hello? Caroline?
Nick?
Yes?
It's 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
I was asleep. It's 1 o'clock in the morning.
Ah, well, I hope I didn't wake you up. I had to talk to you.
It's 1 o'clock in the morning. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Caroline.
Yes.
It's Nick. I just tried calling you and I got the speaking clock. I just want to know... Hello? Are you still there?
Yeah.
I just wanted to know... ask if it would be okay if I called you tomorrow sometime.
You're calling me at 1 o'clock in the morning to ask me if it's okay if you call me tomorrow sometime?
Yes. I know it sounds crazy, but that's the way it is if you're in love, even for pigs. I know. Listen, I want to invite you to dinner, Caroline, and you won't recognise the flat. I've been doing it up. Today, I've got all my LPs in alphabetical order. That's how much I care. I'd have done more, but... every time I came across a love song, I had to play it and think of you. I'm sorry, I was asleep too. See, it's just that even in my sleep I couldn't help phoning you. I'm not to blame, it's my subconscious. Quickly, say you'll come to dinner. I can feel a speech from Casablanca coming on. Stop me before it's too late.
Okay, okay, I'll come to dinner. What time?
Eight.
Eight.
Eight? Great. Ha! See? There you go. Inspiring me to poetry. Eight. Great. Poetry. And I promise you won't recognise the flat.
Good night, Nick.
It's a little after 11 1/4 minutes after 6 here on Radio 3. So I have a few minutes to tell you about today's early morning concert before we hear it. The maestro guitarist, Lemmy, is... he's probably best known for his work with the heavy metal rock quartet, Motorhead. However, during a visit to Amsterdam in the autumn of last year, Lemmy fell under the influence of the early madrigalist Thomas Tomkins. The result was an intriguing combination of the two forms. So here, for the first time on radio, is Peace for Madrigal Choir and Thrash Metal Band, Opus number 317 in G, or E-shape on the third fret, by Lemmy.
Oh no, it's 6 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, the new regime starts now. Out of bed, into a tracksuit, 3 mile run, come back, shower, shave, breakfast, real coffee, freshly squeezed orange juice, eggs benedict, newspapers, sit down, write 1,000 words, maybe the short story idea, maybe the next chapter of the novel. From now on, the motto is, go for it.
Oh, who am I trying to kid? I've been reading too many colour supplements. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. Maybe tomorrow I'm going back to bed. Yes?
Hello.
Hello.
I was just wondering, have you let Jesus into your life?
Yes, but the flat was too untidy and he left. Now, if you'll excuse me, I've got a pan of white cockerel's blood on the stove. Thank you for calling. Bye.
Excellent. When it comes to planning, there's nothing like a hot bath. So, get the flat sorted, send flowers to Caroline, invite her to dinner, yeah, brilliant idea, make it all up, it'll be great. I can see it all now. Oysters, champagne, candlelight, but before we've even finished the oysters.
Nick.
Uh-huh.
Would you mind if I took off my dress? It's so... warm in here since you worked out how to operate the central heater.
Be my guest.
Do you like my underwear?
It's all silk, isn't it? Even the stockings.
Well, do you like it?
Well, no. Caroline, it turns you from a human being into a mere...
Yes.
Sex object. It's degrading. It's humiliating. I hate it. Take it all off. But slowly. Oh, yes.
Inviting her to dinner 2 nights running. You do like her.
What do you mean?
Oh, you're fond of her. Feel great affection. You know what I mean. I can't think of another way of putting it. I'm only a geranium, you know.
Now, what do you mean, 2 nights running?
Well, it was her you phoned last night, wasn't it? When you got in from the pub. Late. Woke me up. Put your cigarette out in my pot. Again.
I did phone her. What time did I invite her round?
8 o'clock. You talked all soppy to her, then hung up and said, blimey, the things you have to do these days to get your leg over. Then you threw up in Alvin's pot and passed out.
Right, now, don't panic, Nick. You've got plenty of time. First thing, food. Shopping list. Oh, that's easy. Everything except tomato puree. Let's go.
So when I got to the supermarket, I'm the only person there. This is when I made a really big mistake. I thought it would be easy to go to the deli counter and buy cheese.
8 ounces of brie, please.
Have you got a ticket?
Well, there's no one else here.
So you haven't got a ticket? 97.
Yes, thank you. Here you are.
This ticket's 98. I asked for 97.
But there's no one else here.
98?
Yes, thank you. 8 ounces of brie, please.
Have you got a ticket?
I just gave it to you.
So you haven't got a ticket?
Are you by any chance related to Franz Kafka?
Yes. I'm his great-great-niece. 8 ounces of brie? It's 2 stone near enough.
No, it isn't. 8 ounces, please.
I really wish I'd taken the 2 stone.
Stop! Armed police, you're under arrest.
Eh? What? On what charge?
Insisting on getting the amount of cheese you asked for.
What?
That's an offence, sir. Behaving in an un-English way.
Since when?
It's a little-known clause in the new Nationality Act, sir. Mr. Tebbit squeezed it through one night in the Commons when everyone else was asleep. Now, if you'll come quietly.
Oh.
They took me to this Home Office immigration place in Croydon. I was there for 8 hours trying to prove I was English. They put me in a cricket net. I missed every ball, they said. Okay, you're English. You can go home now.
And on the way out, I was approached by a man from the MCC who asked me what my plans were for the rest of the summer. Okay. Now, what have I got here?
Two stone of brie.
Oh, it's 5 to 8. I've got to get this place cleaned up. There's dirty clothes all over the floor. And the oven, that'll do. Oh, no.
Hello.
Caroline, hi.
Well, here I am.
Yes.
Well, something smells interesting.
Yes. Oh, no, the oven!
Your smoke alarm's gone off.
Yeah, it just means my clothes are ready.
What?
Look, Karen, there's been a few catastrophes today, OK, but I can explain.
My, Nick, just as you said, the flat is unrecognisable. The pile of dirty clothes has gone.
Yeah, see?
But I'm glad you left the 8 plates of decomposing takeaways, Nick. That's a nice ornamental touch.
Caroline, listen, we can go out anywhere. I've just sold a script to Hollywood. Money's no object.
I'll take that as a no, then.
Yes, and I'll tell you why.
Oh, no, the oven. Look, please, Caroline, can you answer that? Please, I've got to take my clothes out of the oven.
Come on, Nick.
Please, answer the door.
Table's booked, taxi's waiting, and I'm in a seductive frame of mind.
Oh, hello.
Yes?
You must be Caroline.
And you are?
Cressida, Nick's agent.
Oh, really? Sounds like it.
Oh, I hope you don't think that...
Cressida? What are you doing here?
Dinner, remember?
Oh, no, I forgot. Look, I'm really sorry.
Why apologise? After all, you forgot you were having dinner with me. I'm flattered not to be the only one.
Look, I think...
Oh, no, who's that? Yes.
That's him. Grab him, brothers.
What's going on?
That's him. Told me, bold as brass, he was boiling cockerel's blood on the stove.
Cockerel's blood.
Take your hands off me.
It's for your own good, brother. We're going to drive the devil from you.
Oh, thank heavens. You got it just in time. He was about to do unspeakable things to us.
Who are you?
Isn't it obvious? We're a pair of innocent virgins.
Ooh. Well, sisters, you're safe now. Flee hither from this place. We can handle this.
I am not a devil worshipper, and they are certainly not the worst thing... The worst thing I've done in weeks is double book a dinner date.
Luke,
let me go!
Holy water!
Yes, get off!
Matthew, the silken ropes. Father Zebedee, bring the equipment. You may begin.
I wasn't asleep.
Don't be alarmed!
Don't be alarmed! 600 people have just invaded my flat with pianos. What is this? Who are these people?
They're the blessed choir of the Holy Exorcism.
Caroline, Cressida!
Take it away, boys!
What are you going to do to him?
Well, he doesn't look too badly possessed. A bit of chanting, sprinkling of holy water.
Bind him in silken ropes for about 10 minutes. That should do the trick.
Please, tell these idiots the truth.
You have no power over us now, Beelzebub!
Beelzebub?
He told you he was Beelzebub. Gentlemen, it's not true.
Oh, thanks, Cressida.
He told me he was Mephistopheles.
Mephistopheles!
Cressida!
Listen, Caroline, seeing as how Nick is tied up at the moment, why don't you and I go to the restaurant?
Okay, then. Goodbye, old Nick.
Enjoy the concert.
Come on, girl, wait, guys, listen, get off.
Oh, the holy water doesn't seem to be burning him, brother.
Of course it's not burning me. Look, when I made that remark about the cockerel, I was being sarcastic,
oh,
okay?
Oh, we can't take any chances. Get the bell.
And his reflection shows up in the mirror.
Shut up. The bell!
Look, I am not a devil worshipper. I'm Church of England.
Can you prove your C of E? I bet you don't even know the Lord's Prayer.
Of course I do. I know it backwards.
Uh-huh. Hey, Nick, what happened to your nose?
Well, I forgot I'd invited Caroline to dinner.
Oh, so your nose exploded?
She's kind of furious. But this is the bit I don't understand, OK? I tell her about the movie deal. I offer to take her out instead. I say we can go anywhere, money no object. I thought she'd be pleased.
And what did she say?
She said, so simply because you suddenly have more money than you know what to do with, you think I'll forgive you for getting dates with me and overlook the fact you live in a pigsty? Or to put it another way, Nick, you're calling me an expensive tart.
She said that?
Come to think of it, that's exactly what she said, yeah. All that in one surprisingly powerful left hook to the nose.
Yeah, but where did the burns on your wrists come from? Bondage is not compatible with your psychological profile. Not according to this week's Sunday Post, anyway.
It is not bondage, OK? I just simply had an altercation with some Christian pamphleteers who thought I was possessed by the devil.
Oh. Nothing ever happens round here, does it?
So anyway, where do you go from here with Caroline?
I don't know.
OK, let's analyse this, eh? Scientifically.
Craig, please.
Caroline likes you because you're a writer.
Yeah, partly, I guess.
And she dislikes you because...
Because you have the domestic standards of a senile grizzly bear.
And why is that? Because you're too busy working to worry about getting your flat featured in Ideal Home.
Yeah.
And if you start worrying about the flat, you'll probably stop writing and she won't find you attractive anyway.
So basically you're saying carry on the way I am and she won't stay with me because I'm a slob, huh? Or change and she'll leave me because I'm boring.
Exactly. So what's it going to be?
Another pint of Guinness, please, Craig.
Well, made it through another day, somehow. Of course, it was a complete disaster, but I'm still alive.
Nick. Nick.
What?
You in bed?
Yes.
Oh.
What?
Can we have a drink of water?
Okay. Hey, guys, a special treat.
What?
The Christians left behind their holy water. Here.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Good night. Quite tasty, this holy water.
Good night.
Nick?
What?
You ever thought of letting Jesus into your life?
That was The Nick Revel Show, written by and starring Nick Revel, with Caroline Gruber, Alistair McGowan, Kate McKenzie, Brian Bowles, and special guest stars Brian Johnson and Vince the Duranium. The producer was Jørn Magnusson.